Radio friends, as I return today to the microphone of the Reformed Witness Hour, I would like to express my personal appreciation and thanks to Reverend Jai Matani. Reverend Matani has led the Reformed Witness Hour over the last 12 weeks in a series on death and dying. I want to thank him, along with the radio audience, for the very clear and comforting expositions that he delivered to us, centering around the great victory that is in Jesus Christ, and that indeed in Jesus Christ we have life everlasting. Reverend Matani would, I'm sure, enjoy hearing from you and your response to his messages. You can contact him by contacting the Reformed Witness Hour with the address that our announcer will give in a moment. Once again, he would be encouraged if you would respond to him and take a moment this week to write him a brief note. We also wish Pastor Matani God's richest blessings as he returns to his work as a missionary in the Pittsburgh area. Today, I would like to direct your attention to the resuming of the school year. The passage of God's Word that I have in mind, I trust, is a familiar one to many. It's found in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. There we read, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The setting for that word of God was momentous. The words were spoken by Moses, the prophet of God. He is speaking to 2 million Israelites who he has led out of the land of Egypt and for the past 40 years had led them as a shepherd in a waste, howling wilderness. Israel had just conquered the children of Ammon, had escaped the treachery of Moab, and were about now to go over the Jordan into the Promised Land. But Moses would not be the one to lead them over the Jordan, for you will recall that he had dishonored God when God told him to speak to the rock and he would send water for the thirst of Israel. Moses, in his frustration and anger with God's people, had struck the rock, and God had told him that he would not lead Israel over the Jordan, but his servant Joshua would be the leader and the conqueror of Canaan. Moses has gathered the children of Israel together to speak his final words. As he speaks his final words in the book of Deuteronomy, he wishes to rehearse to Israel all that the Lord had done for them and to impress on them their calling as God's people in the world. He wishes to remind them of all the commandments of the Lord that he had taught them, and that the Lord had taught that they must do these commandments when they enter into the Promised Land. Moses' message to Israel had a focal point. It came down to the importance of the education of their children. Moses was saying to them, or the Holy Spirit in Deuteronomy 6 is saying to us, that if we are to live as God's people in this world, as a people holy unto the Lord, not following the wickedness of nations around us, but being that people saved by grace, parents then would have to educate their children. Moses says to Israel in his day that if you are to live in the land of Canaan and be preserved as God's special people, then the truth of God must be in your heart as a parent, and there must be a burning passion in your heart to teach your children. And that's the word of God for us today in Jesus Christ. We want to hear of the responsibility of parents in the education of their children. Now, whether your child will be attending, in the great goodness of God, an existing Christian school organized by Christian parents, or whether they'll be attending some public university or church college, or whether you homeschool your child, education in all of these areas is never something that you give over to someone else, but it is always your responsibility as a parent. That education of your child, God makes plain, is very important. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How that child will walk with God in their old age depends upon how they have been trained in their youth. And so, God comes with a commandment to us of our parental responsibility. We must bring up our children in the way of the Lord, and we must do this not when we feel like it, but these words of God must be in our hearts, and we must teach them diligently to our children. Let's consider that for a few moments today, diligently teaching our children, asking three questions. What does it mean that we are to teach them? When are we to teach them? And why are we to teach our children? To teach our children means that we will take the knowledge of God's Word and transmit it to our child, to give them the knowledge of how they are to live on this earth as the servants of God, as pilgrims seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. In short, what are we to do as a parent, as a Christian parent? We are to teach our children how to live as a friend of God right now in this world, and how they are to prepare for eternity. Moses put it this way, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. The word teach there means literally sharpen, or to whet the edge of a sword or knife, to make pointed, clear, and sharp. You see, wherever we turn in the Scripture, we find that God's Word is opposed to the exalted folly of man. Man would say that education is relative, that truth is changing, that there's a little truth everywhere. But God's Word tells us that the truth is precise and clear. God's Word and God's truth doesn't change. It is something very clear. And our children must be sharpened. They must be taught that truth in a clear way. The teaching that comes from your lips as a parent must be a clear teaching. You must not be concerned simply with vague generalities, but you must bring that Word of God to them in such a way that they understand it, that they see it to the understanding of the child. It certainly means that we want to take into consideration our child when we teach them. We want to take into consideration their temperament. We want to take into consideration their age. And we want to remember that God has given to us as a parent a natural tie to our child. And we are to bring that truth to them in a way that is very clear. But specifically, what are we to teach? And Moses says, these words which I command thee. Now, what are these words? Well, if we go back to verses 4 and 5 of that chapter, you'll find that those words were this: the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So what are we to teach? Well, we have to teach who God is, that he is the one and only living God, independent, eternal, infinitely exalted, self-sufficient, and oh, so glorious. But we must also teach what our response to God must be, namely that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and might. What is a God-centered education? A God-centered education is one in which all things are brought into the light of the living God, and in all things we are led to understand our calling toward this God. Specifically, the words of God form the content and the basis of our education of our children. For Moses, that word that he had been speaking to Israel was a summation of all that he had taught them over 40 years. He had taught them not only the truth of the living and the eternal God, the eternal love of God and the promise of God in Jesus to save his people from their sins. But he had also taught them the moral law, or the Ten Commandments, that is, how they were to live in love and joy before God. He had taught them how to love the Lord their God with their being and with their heart and with their soul. All of these things we are to teach our children. That means that we must teach our children a life of obedience. Moses says, "Thou shalt teach them to observe these things." Observe them. Obey them. Now, that word obedience is a bad word today. It's heard by so many as being something oppressive, stunting, against self-determination, tyrannical. But when you come to the Bible, God's wonderful word, you find that obedience to God is freedom. Now, you may sit and listen to that and not understand it and say, what in the world does that mean? Obedience? Freedom? You might say as a young person, that's not freedom. Obedience? I've been waiting around here under my parents to get out from under the roof, and then I'll be free. Well, nevertheless, the Bible is very clear, and the Bible is true. To obey God is freedom. To live a life of disobedience to God is not only folly, but it is bondage, tyranny. Life and freedom is found in obedience to God. For this purpose, God has loved his people in Christ and redeemed us from our sins in his Son and sent forth the Spirit into our hearts. Why? So that he might bless us. How? To bring us into loving obedience to him. For in the way of obedience to God is freedom. Romans chapter 6 puts it this way, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? The word of God says to us, you obey either Satan or Christ, either sin or God, either yourself or the living Lord. There's no middle ground, there's no alternative. And it is only when by grace, through the Holy Spirit, that we obey God and are taught to obey God that we can experience freedom. That's true freedom. Freedom is obedience to Jesus Christ. A new obedience from the heart, a desire to please him in everything I do. Now, that's what we teach our children. Whatever the course of study, whatever the issue in their life, we teach them that through Jesus Christ we have been made free to obey God in all that we do. Maybe someone says to me, you mean to say to me then that I can't do whatever I want to do? And the answer is, yes, that's exactly what the Word of God means. If you do whatever you want to do apart from God, then the Bible says you serve a fool yourself. You are in tyranny, under tyranny, to your own sinful and foolish lust and will. Freedom is to know God, love God, and obey God from the heart. This is what we teach our children. And we do this always. That's when we are to do it. And thou shalt talk of them, says Moses, when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When you are at home, or when you are away from home, when you go to bed, and when you get up, all the time, full time. You see, your calling from God is apparent. That calling is full time, all the time. As a Reformed believer, we believe that the preaching of the gospel through the church is the chief means of grace. That it is the chief way that God has appointed to the church to bring his grace to his people. And so, we believe that we are to live our life under the preaching of the Word of God. But that preaching goes on. That preaching continues by parents, by every believer, who, having heard the Word of God, now goes out to live that Word of God. And so as a parent now, when you walk before your child, and when you're at home with your teenagers, and when you're about to go to bed, and when you wake up and you say good morning to your child, you are always to be speaking in such a way that the truths of what you believe are coming out. That doesn't mean that you quote Bible verses randomly or you think that this is done some mechanical way, but in your life before them, you show and you rejoice in and you take the time to teach them the truth of God's Word. Maybe it's with your little boy at a T-ball game, maybe it's when you take your family and your young people with you, your teenage son, to the manor care and to visit your aged grandpa or grandma. Maybe it's when you're mowing lawn on Saturday or you're driving to church on Sunday. Or maybe it's when you get up in the middle of the night and they've had a nightmare. You teach them. You make it clear that you live before them and they too must live in the love of God, to please God, to know God, and to rejoice in God through Jesus Christ. You teach this in everything that they learn: math, geography, science, spelling. Always we seek to communicate the Lord our God is one Lord who has created all things for His glory, and that the end of all things is to know Him, to please Him, and to walk before His face. You see, Christian education is not just the Ten Commandments. We haven't obtained Christian education if we nail up the Ten Commandments on the exterior wall of a building, or if we have prayer in a building. Christian education is much more than that. It's to show how God's Word applies to play and to work, to laughter and to tears, to study and to recreation. How loving God with all your heart applies to and governs all of life. Teach them diligently. Constantly is the idea. Thoroughly. Your teaching must involve your whole life. That means it will also be very practical. You will teach them why we must be careful when we use somebody else's goods or tools to return them. You will teach them that, yes, as a young teenage girl, you ought to leave a room better than you found it. You will teach your little boy why it's important to do his schoolwork, and why he should be alert in school and not slouch. Why? Because, you see, the great truth is, by grace, we are not our own to live our own way, but we were bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, and now the child of God wants to glorify God. What I'm saying is that there is no separation between a religious and a secular education. It's not as if some things are secular and some things are religious. But all things find their truth only in the light of God's Word. This is why we form Christian schools. We form Christian schools because we desire to have a school where the teacher believes the same thing as the parent and will therefore inculcate or breathe into all of their teaching an atmosphere of reverence for God, and that the end of all knowledge, no matter the subject, is to bow before God, who is glorious and gracious in Jesus Christ. That's Christian education, and that's our goal in this coming year. We do this because Jehovah, whom we love and who we desire to communicate to our children, is our covenant God. God's covenant undergirds all of the Scriptures, and it undergirds everything that Moses is saying to Israel. Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, is not simply given a list of do's and don'ts, so that he could create a sect on the earth in Palestine. Moses is not to be seen as the leader of a cult giving the approved list to a bunch of lemmings, but he is speaking the words of the covenant of God's gracious fellowship in Jesus Christ, his Son, and of how God's people will live in fellowship with God. Now, granted, in the Old Testament, it's going to be done under the pictures and under the shadows of the law, and it's fulfilled today in Jesus Christ. But what God was saying to them was, I have redeemed you. I have set my love upon you. I have given you promises in Jesus Christ to remove the burden of your sin. I promise to draw near to you and to show you my own glorious self. Now, as the friends of the living God, because of this covenant, teach your children all these things. That's why we do it. But more, we do it out of gratitude. We do it because the one controlling, dominating factor in the life of a child of God is thankfulness. Thankfulness to God. Because we love God and wish to thank Him. That's why we teach our children. Do your children know that about you? Do they say, Dad and Mom walk with God in thankfulness? Do your little boys and girls say, God is so great and so wonderful because that's the way He is to my dad? Do you show that? Do you show that to them day by day in your house? Do you show that by also beginning now, perhaps for you and your church, attending Bible classes? You say to your child, we're going to go out of the house tonight to be with our fellow saints so that we can learn more of God and His Word. We want to be there. Do you show that in every way of your life, that God is great and that you are thankful to Him? That's what it means to bring up your children in the way of the Lord. We do this because all of these things are in our heart. These words, said Moses, shall be in your heart. Now, they're not in our hearts right now the way they should be, but they are there by a wonder of God's grace, and those words are life to us. They are the treasure of our heart. They are our joy and our comfort. We rejoice in them. Therefore, out of love for God in our hearts, we want to teach our children the way in which they are to go. That's the covenant. That's the truth. Out of the heart of a parent given to know the truth, we want to teach our children everything in order that they might know God and praise Him forever. Is that true for you? God be with you in this coming year, that as a parent you might grow in love and knowledge of God, and that there might be in your heart as a parent the holy desire to teach this to your children. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We pray that it may be fruitful in our lives. Bless us in our schooling of our children in the coming year. We pray through Jesus' name. Amen.